standing now for our offering tonight. Everybody remain standing for our offering this evening. Let's honor the Lord. Amen. I hope that you'll still be praying for my girls. They're still off down yonder crazy. There ain't no sense in anybody taking a vacation that long. They sent me a picture on my phone of the kids in the swimming pool yesterday. It was 80 degrees. And I sent one back and said it's 32 and the wind chill factor is 22 and it's blowing snow. But anyway, y'all pray for them. They'll get back safe. And I ask the Lord to bless them and others. We need a prayers tonight. You know, we got people in our church having a hard time financially, physically. We all have problems. So let's pray for one another like the Bible teaches. Don't just pray for your friends. I mean, you know, close friends. Pray for other people, people that you don't even know. And ask the Lord to help them, okay? Let's everybody give tonight. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity of giving. We pray now that you'd bless this offering tonight. Let it be what you want it to be. We love you. Thank you for the opportunity to come to church, Lord. We don't deserve it. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, bless this offering. Bless this service. Do what ought to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible's open now, and we're going to study a word that everybody in here needs. Every one of us needs this in our life. 2 Timothy, open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at a verse in 2 Timothy 3. We're also going to look at a verse in 2 Timothy 4. As you know, as we studied the other night, 2 Timothy is the last book the Apostle Paul wrote before they cut his head off, and he went home to be with the Lord. He stayed true. He stayed in the fight. But he man, run his course. And so tonight, we'll look at verse 13 of chapter 3 describes the day we're living in. Look at verse 13. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we shouldn't let it surprise us when you hear about all this stuff going on in the world. You think, oh my goodness, it's awful. The world's getting worse. It's supposed to. If the world was getting better, I'd start worrying. Because that ain't what the Bible says is going to happen, is it? All right, look, verse number 14. There's a word there, see that word? But continue thou, stay with it, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Skip over to chapter 4 and verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered. He's going to offer up his life. And the time of my departure is at hand. People say, you hear a lot of these old people say they sort of know when it's time for them to die. He did. And others did in the Bible. Now I don't know that the Lord lets people know that now. But he did. And I know people say, well, I believe that so-and-so knew that it was getting his time because he got everything fixed and got everything. Sometimes the Lord might let you know that it's getting time to die. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew it was coming. Of course, I guess if you're locked up in jail and it's just waiting on your turn to get your head cut off, you don't have to have a revelation from God to discern that your time is nigh. But look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished. That word finished. I finished. I did not quit my course. I kept. I didn't let it go. The faith. There's a word that's very popular among preachers and seminary theological students, and it's the word perseverance. Persevere. And the word persevere, it's different from preserve. Preserve is just something like when you put preserves in a can. Persevere means to just stay right in there, stay right on your course until the Lord gets through with you and takes you home. Now, I'd like for us to do a little study on that tonight, and I've got some really, really good quotes for you from great men that I've studied, and these will help you if you'll remember them. I don't know about you, but I've always been, since I got saved, if a man says a profound thing in a quote, it sticks in my head. And you've heard me quote many times, my pastor, different preachers, when I say there's power to match the hour, that's one of the greatest profound truths I've ever run across. It's like grace for every need. It's like you're not responsible for people's actions, but you're responsible for your reaction. You never forget stuff like that because they become principles that you live by. And you should never, ever, ever forget stuff like that. I don't know about you, but them things stick in my mind. So I'm going to talk about perseverance. There will come times when you don't want to do right. There will be times when you don't want to go to church. There'll be times when you don't want to read the Bible. You just want to do what your flesh wants to do and to say, fool with it, I ain't going. I'm just going to do what I want to do for a while. Well, you need some perseverance. I'm going to say two or three things about it tonight. And the first thing I want to say about perseverance is it helps mature you. It helps mature you. Nothing will help you mature like going through problems and burdens and hard times and just keep on going through them problems. You talk about growing. You'll grow more in your Christian life while you're going through trouble and doing what's right than you will. You know, we all want to stay on the mountaintop. Everybody wants glory to God, hallelujah. We all want to shout the victory all the time. But the truth is, life ain't like that. And the truth is, we all go through times when it's rough. And if you'll stick in there when it's rough and don't quit when you want to quit and don't quit when you look around and say, well, they quit, so can I. If you'll stick in there, then you will mature in the Lord. Somebody said that often genius is another way of saying perseverance. A lot of people say, boy, they're smart. They may not be that smart. They may just know how to persevere. Just stay with it. Stay with it. You know, if you stay with something long enough, you'll figure it out. If you'll keep going and keep trying and keep knocking on that door, keep reading that Bible and keep praying and keep fasting and keep coming to church and keep coming to Sunday school, even when you don't feel like it, even when it really, really matures you. Somebody said this, if you get up one more time than you fall, you're going to make it through. If you get up one more time than you fall, you're going to make it through. If you fail five times, get up six, and you'll be all right. Just don't let your failures outnumber your getting back ups. Amen? Here's one that I've always loved. The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. The way you test a person's character, some people just let the least little old thing stop them. Other people, you ain't going to stop them. They're going through no matter what. That's a test of a person's character. The test of your character is, what does it take to stop you? We have a lady here in our church for years. Y'all know who I'm talking about. She went to church now. She's been going to church now 30-something years. As far as I know, her husband has never went with her one time. Not one. Not revival, not youth rally, not prayer meeting, nothing. I don't even think the man's ever even been to a funeral in a church one time, and she's prayed and fasted and lived right. I know people who say, well, my husband, he's not really interested, and so I just gave up. No, that ain't no reason to quit. That is no reason. If you ain't got a husband, that ain't no reason to quit. That ain't no reason. Listen, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Somebody said the thing to do when all else fails is again. Try it again. Try it again. You can plan purposely, prepare prayerfully, proceed positively, and pursue persistently, and you'll mature in the Lord. You'll grow in the Lord. Just like growing up physically. A little kid that high, you can't expect a little kid that high to be as wise as somebody who's, 20, 25, 30 years old. Same thing's true in the Lord. We grow, and I'm excited. We got a lot of young Christians in our church. We got people in our church who are not young maybe in age, but hadn't been in church long. And it's a thrill to me as a pastor to watch them grow. One of the biggest thrills I get is to see somebody come in and grow in the Lord. I mean, you see them come to the altar, get right with the Lord, and then a few weeks later they say, "Preacher, what does this mean? Preacher, what does that mean?" And then you see their hand go up once in a while. Man, that makes it worth it all. That to see people grow, and it'll mature. You'll mature. You see your bus kid, you bus workers, one of the greatest rewards you'll ever get is to see some of your bus kids. Most of y'all haven't been in the bus ministry long enough. See them when they start getting bigger and then bring their husband or wife to the church and bring their kids. You talk about a blessing. You talk about a blessing. That will bless your heart. Y'all know Melanie. Melanie was one of our bus kids at Marion for a while. And I didn't even remember her. She popped up over in the new church because she knew my name. And they started coming and been coming ever since. You know what a blessing that is to me? You know how I ought to thank God that we run them old buses all over Marion and Dan Center and the Morgan and spend all that money? It'll mature you. It'll mature you. So it'll help mature you. The next thing perseverance will do, it helps you trust God. It helps you trust God. The longer you live for the Lord and the more you go through, the more you can trust the Lord. You realize it's Him. You realize that trying times are no time to quit trying. Somebody wrote this: the man who really wants to do something finds a way. The other man finds an excuse. The man who really wants to do something finds a way. The other man finds an excuse. For example, I can say, "Let's pray." If you want to pray, you'll say, "I'll do it." I'll say, if you don't, you'll say, "Well, I got to do this or that." If I say, "Give," if you want to give, you'll say, "Well, I'm going to give no matter what. I'm going to put it in there and trust you to make it up, Lord." If you don't, you'll say, "Man, I can't afford that. I've got bills to pay, and God wants me to take care of my family." Make all kind of wicked excuses like that. If you want to do something, you'll do it. If you don't, you'll find an excuse for it. You know, they said Columbus, Christopher Columbus was a strong commander and admiral and all that kind of stuff. And they said sometimes they'd be up against storms and there'd be threats of mutiny and they'd say, "Captain, we can't go on. We can't go on." And they'd go up there and tell him, they said, "There's no way. We're going to drown. We're not going to make it." And you know what he'd always say? They said Columbus would say, "Sail on. Sail on. Sail on." And buddy, you money can't buy that kind of attitude. Money, school can't teach you that. Riches can't put that in you. There's something in you. If you love Jesus and the Lord done enough for you down in your heart and it got real, that no matter how hard it gets, something inside says, "Bless God, sail on." Amen. Sail on through the hard times. Sail on through the droughts. Sail on. Anybody can shout when the place is youth rallies packed full and Hallelujah Howard's on the front row and people are running the aisles and the choir singing. Anybody can shout. But boy, when it's 30 degrees outside and ice on the ground and you barely had enough money to get gas to make it to church and you fought all the way here and you feel like God's a million miles away, that's when you sail on. Sail on, brother. Just sail on. You stick. Somebody wrote it like this. I like this one. It says, "Stick to your job till one of you is done." That's good, ain't it? Stick to your job till one of you's done. I don't stay with my job till I'm done or my job's done. Amen. That's good advice. That's good advice. You stick with it. You just sail on. Sail on. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm handicapped." We all are. I read this in my illustration book. I don't know if all this is exactly accurate, but they printed it in a book. If you've heard this, to verify it, let me know. Beethoven, when he was a child, his teacher said he was hopeless. He could never become a musician. Einstein could not speak until he was 4 years old and could not learn how to read till he was 7. Dumb, at dumb. Of course, there is a fine line between genius and crazy. Ain't that right? That's what they always say. Geniuses don't know how, they can't match your socks, or you know, or just they don't know normal stuff, but they have an IQ of 180 or something, 170, something like that. But they said Einstein could not read until he was 7 years old. So most people would say that kid's slow, and grew up to have one of the greatest minds in the history of the world. I don't know what he did to excel, but I guarantee you what he did. I guarantee he applied himself. And he tried. And he prayed. I don't know if he prayed. But he read and he studied. I don't think he done much praying. He's like Darwin. He didn't either. Thomas Edison, his teacher, said that he was dumb when he was little. Dumb. And he gave us over 100 inventions. Light bulb. Phonograph. He invented movies. Stuff like that. J.W. Woolworth, the president of the famous Woolworth department store, when he was 21, got a job at a store, and they wouldn't let him work home because they said, quote, he didn't have enough sense. Didn't have enough sense to run a cash register and work in a store, and became the founder of Woolworths. Now, I'm telling you, people, you can't let what your daddy said or your mama said. I know a lady right now. She said that when she was little, her daddy was a real wicked man. And she said when she was little, her daddy said, you're a curse. And she said it's bothered her all her life. You know, your parents saying stuff like that. Your parents saying, you'll never amount to nothing. You ain't nothing. And you're a mistake. We never did even want to have you. You should have never been born. And kids grow up thinking, I can't never do nothing. I'm just worse than everybody else. I'm not trying to build up nobody's self-esteem, but I'm going to tell you, you can't go around believing that you can't amount to nothing. You can do anything God wants you to do. You can live a holy life. You can win souls to Jesus Christ. You can honor God. You can be sing in the choir. You can be a soul winner. It don't take a genius. It just takes somebody that won't quit. Persevere. 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 I know people that come into church, and they come into church, done real good for a while. I know ladies. And they said, well, I want a husband. I want a husband. And there ain't no good men in the church for me to marry and all that. And wind up going out there in the world, finding some good-for-nothing fellow that won't go to church. You've heard me say it over and over. If they won't go to church, why are you dating them? They ain't going after you married. It'll probably be worse. Amen. And they just go out there and they give up too easy. They give up too easy. I've known men that come to church and they'll say, boy, I tell you, I had it rough, Brother Danny, been through a divorce, and I wish God had sent me a wife, and blah, you know, no, and I feel sorry for them. And I say, if you'll hang in here and serve God, God will give you one. If you'll hang in here and serve God, God will give you one. And they quit too soon. They quit too soon. First thing you know, they're out here chasing some foosy that won't go to church. And next thing you know, they're all out. It's not going to do the education. It's your perseverance. I've known guys that had very little ability. And I'm telling you what, I've seen them in church. I know several. I know several right now that didn't have a lot of natural smarts, you might say, or personality. But you know what them boys kept on and kept on and kept reading their Bible and praying? And right now they're pastoring a church somewhere doing a great job. I've seen them. And I've seen some of these smart cats come in, you know, that knows it all and got it all figured out and know everything. And they didn't last 2 years. It's got nothing to do with your looks. It's got nothing to do with your charisma. It's got nothing to do with your ability. It's got nothing to do with your talent. You just give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can do and stay in there for God. Stay in there for God. Wait on the Lord. And you'll do a whole lot better. Here's a good one. Walt Disney. They said when he was growing up or started on his first job, He wanted to be a cartoonist. And, you know what they said about him? They said, quote, he had no good ideas. Walt Disney had no good ideas. And his first cartoon was called Oswald the Rabbit. And Oswald the Rabbit was a flop. And nobody had ever heard tell of Oswald the Rabbit. And instead of giving up, he drew another one, and his name was Mickey Mouse. Now, you know what Walt Disney did? He said, well, I tried it. I made a stab at it, and it didn't work. He said, I'm going to draw another. Son, did he hit the jackpot or what? I'm ashamed to tell you what my daughter told me it cost them to get in there the other day. $86 for an adult. And about that much for, ain't that, don't that beat all. Last time I went to Disney World, it was 50 something, and I asked the Lord forgive me for a week. That was way back in the mid 90s. But, and I'm not saying it's wrong. If you want to go, take, everybody ought to have to go through that once in their life. First time I ever went, Carrie, I would advise you to wait till the kids get old enough to enjoy it. First time we went, I took Carrie. She is 4 years old, and I wound up carrying her on my shoulders the last 2 hours and drove an hour and something to get there that morning. And it was like, I'm telling you, I was tired now, buddy. It was a terrible, terrible day. But anyway, old Walt Disney, he hit the jackpot, son. They told him he didn't have no talent. They said, you ain't got no talent. Give it up. Listen, if I listened to people, I'd have quit preaching 25 years ago. People throw dampers on you. People put cold water on you. They'll say, your family's the worst in the world. Another. You can't do that. You can't win the world. Don't listen to them. You get in there for God. And you make up your mind, you're going to do something for God. And you make up your mind, you're going to stick with it. Stick with your church. Stick with your family. Stick with what. Don't just run every time something happens that upsets you. Because if you do, that's all you're ever going to do your whole life is run. You ever met people? And I have nobody in mind when I say this. If you're guilty of it, I don't mean you. You ever met people that every time you see them, they got a new job? Every time you see them, it's because they work. First thing goes wrong, they quit and goes somewhere. First thing goes wrong, they quit and goes somewhere. You ever meet people that every time you see them, they're going somewhere different to church? Same thing. Stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. It always has. It always will. You just got to stick. You have to stick. Like a postage stamp on a letter, brother. I'm stuck to this. I'm going to stick in there for God. Tell you another one. Let's see. Caruso, great singer. Opera, I think it was. They told him when he was young, you can't sing. Henry Ford, one of the first automobiles he ever made, forgot to put reverse in it. That's right. Can you imagine a car? You do fine as long as you're just going somewhere. But if you ever have to turn around, you're in trouble. He'll make you a big circle. No reverse. How dumb can you get? But he's Henry Ford, and he's done a great work. All right, anybody have a question right quick? Now I've got a few more things to say. You got to stick with it, people. The last thing I'm going to say is it helps you appreciate the victory when it does come. You know, when you fight and you fight and you fight and you fight and you fight, and brother, you finally see that victory come. Lordy mercy, isn't it sweet? Isn't it sweet? I tell you, here's one for you. Stopping at third base adds no more to the score than striking out. Stopping at third base don't put no more points on the board than striking out. You might as well struck out as run to third base and stop. People say, well, I run all the way to third. That ain't enough. I'm telling you, you got to stick it out. Stick it out. Don't quit and don't let nothing or nobody make you quit. Don't. If you fall down, get up. If you fall down again, get up again. If your family fusses at you, hang in there anyway. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just don't even have that mindset. There's no quitting. You stay. You stick. You stick. You stick to your job till one of you's done. Falling down don't make you a failure. Staying down does. That's a good one to remember. Falling down, young people, don't make you a failure. Staying down does. Write that in the back of your Bible. Falling down don't make you a failure. Staying down does. All men fall. The great ones get back up. All men fall. The great ones get back up. God don't measure your success by how far you get. God measures your success by the obstacles you overcome in getting there. Man, that one's helped me for 20 years. God don't measure your success by how far you get. God measures your success by the obstacles you overcome in getting there. That's the way God tests you and rates your life. Amen? You make up your mind, you ain't gonna stop at third base. You make up your mind like Paul. Man, old Paul started out, he's raising people from dead and healing people. And man, he'd just take a handkerchief and mail it over to somebody and they'd get well. And son, I'm telling you, buddy, he was getting with it there for a while. Revival, people getting saved everywhere. And then it got worse. And then it got worse. He said, evil report, good report. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Lord, they said, them preachers say, when he go preach a revival somewhere, he didn't look and say, where's the Holiday Inn? He looked and say, well, where's the jail? That's where I'll wind up before this revival's over. That's the way, and buddy, they wind up putting him in jail, wind up cutting his head off, wind up just taking him out like an animal, just slaughtering him out there. And buddy, he stuck it out and said, I fought a good fight. I am. They said, well, Paul, you crazy, man. If you just lighten up a little bit, you could probably live a few more years. He said, I ain't going to do it. I'm staying right on my course that God called me to do. And I'm saying, now the day may come. The day may come, people. I hope it don't. But the day may come when we would have to give our life for what we believe. I mean, it happened with at Columbine. At Columbine, they didn't tell you the real truth on the news. Them boys targeted Christians. Now, they shot some other people, but they deliberately went after. They saw somebody run, they'd just shoot them. But they hunted the Christians down. And that spirit is alive and well in this country. There's a spirit sweeping across our country of hate God. Hate God, everything God. I'm going to preach on it pretty soon. Because I seen these boys. I shot some basketball with boys up at the gym one day. Little old boys. We was in there playing. And we was cutting up. And I was playing, you know, and everything with them. And one of them had on a shirt that said, haters, something gonna hate or something like that. I said, who are you talking about? Haters. You hate somebody? He said, no, I don't hate nobody. I said, well, who's a hater? I said, you know who's supposed to hate, don't you? And he said, the devil. I said, that's right. That's who he's supposed to hate. And you'd be surprised, and I'm going to preach a sermon on it. Y'all pray for me about it, on haters. The Bible talks about people being haters of God. And them haters, a lot of times them TV announcers and all that, some of them are the biggest haters they are. They just hate what's right. And buddy, we're living in that time when you may have to seal your testimony with your own blood. Old Rachel Scott, she's 14 years old, and they got her down and said, you love Jesus, or God? She said, yeah. They said, well, go be with him. They shot her in the leg first. And that little old girl looked up at them and said, yes, I love the Lord. Man, she didn't say, no, no, please, please don't shoot me, please don't shoot me. I don't love him. She didn't bail out. She didn't back out. I was a 14-year-old girl, had more guts than a lot of old-time Christians that I know. I took some guts. I hope I'd have that much, don't you? Hope I would. Lord have mercy, brother. When they start coming out this microchip they're talking about, let me ask you a question. If they come out and you had to have a microchip planted in you to buy your groceries or get a job or anything, you say, Brother Danny, it's easy to talk big. You say, I thought we was going to be gone, but what if we ain't? I'd say put it in my left hand. Would you take it in the left hand? I would. I was just in the left hand. I'm not advising you to do that. Yeah, my foot. Scan that across the computer. My big toe. What do you want, Brother A?
One time, a couple years ago, somebody
on a website
was a
joke.
Paid so much money to get
the
walking beast, and they said they
were swamped. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. You're right. You're absolutely right. Them haters. Them haters doing that. What I'm saying is, things may get rough before this is over. They sure are. Wow. Well, there's this, you heard about this pastor, some pastor, did he ever get out? That one that's been on the news a lot lately? There's a Christian pastor, but he was actually raised a Muslim, but he got saved and started preaching, and he's in prison over there somewhere right now. And they're, ACLJ, or Jay Sekulow and them guys are trying to get him out. And it's a bad thing. And that old boy's in prison over there, and very good possibility he'll never see the light of day. And his family's over here in America. Now, you know, I hope I got that much strength and faith in the Lord. You better get your feet grounded. That's why you better read your Bible every day. You better pray, because we don't know what we might face. Anybody else? Right quick. But he's right about that computer chip. You can look that stuff up, man. They're saying computer chips by 2017 in everybody. I don't know, I doubt it, but I tell you, the way we're going, you never know. That's a good honest question. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul, but it ain't right still, but that's what the Bible says. If a man's starving to death and he steals something, you go easier on him than you would if he just sorry and no count and steals something from somebody. But it's still wrong. I don't know. You know, like he said, it's happening every day in Sudan and other places. They're cutting people. They're starving to death. They're starving to death. Christians are. We're a mess here in this country. Lord have mercy. If it rains, we don't come. They're getting their head cut off. That's what's called a Christian. Anybody else? Right quick. Now, I hope, let's just pray the rapture is going to come and get us out of here, and we won't be seeing the wrath of God. We know that. The wrath of God will not be poured out on His children. And I'm not implying that we'll see the mark of the beast. I'm not. I'm just saying, if they said, you have to have this, you know, we may have to face that one of these days. And it may not even be the mark of the beast. It may be just a forerunner of it. Anybody else? Right quick. The promise you have got is, God don't never deal with the church and Israel at the same time. When the church age is over, He's going to rapture us out, and then He'll go back to dealing with Israel. The clock gets ticked out, ticked back on. But whatever, you know, I'm telling you, we're seeing stuff now. We're seeing stuff happen right now. We're going to look up one day and say, "Ain't we supposed to be gone right now?" And you don't never know what we might see. Anybody else? Right quick. Persevere, folks. Persevere. Get your head in this book and pray. Stick with the old-time religion. It'll do when I'm dying. It'll do when I'm dying. You'll appreciate the victory when it comes. You know, I will say this and I'm through. Several times, but one year in particular, I think it was 2 years ago, we fasted and prayed for the youth rally and worked and fasted and prayed. I know some of you dread to see it coming. And personally, my flesh, I'm telling you, it takes a toll on me. Everybody knows me. I put my heart, mind, body, everything I've got into that thing. And we fast. Lord willing, we'll be starting our 40-day fast a week from Sunday night. Hard to believe, isn't it? That youth rally's 40 days from a week from Sunday night. And I do that. And then I always fast extra during that time that I don't even tell people about, just between me and the Lord, asking the Lord to touch people's heart. Now, every year at the youth rally, I have people come and say, "Lord, preacher, you look awful. You've been eating, you've been sick, you know." I said, "Well, I didn't look as bad a few months ago. Maybe I'll look all right in another month. Give me a while," because, you know, we fast and we work and we don't have no sleep or nothing. And it was about two, it happens every year, about 2 or 3 years ago, I remember one night, the altar was full. There's probably 150, 200 people up front. And there was about 40-something got saved that night. And we was all up singing. We had a bunch up there singing. Everybody down here was singing. And I mean, it was just like, it was like all that was labor pains and now the baby was born. That's what it was like. And everybody was standing there grinning. And I was up here. And it just hit me. It hit me. I thought, man, all them days of fasting and all them days of work, there it is. Made it work. And I'm telling you, I was overcome with joy. Tears. I was bawling and happy at the same time. And you know what? That makes the victory sweeter when it comes. Persevering makes the victory. If I'd have gave up and said, I don't care if we have a good one or not, I'm just going to go enjoy myself, then I wouldn't have enjoyed that victory. But boy, when you fight and 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 you're just about dead, and I'm telling you, then the Lord brings a sweet victory in. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, it makes it sweet. Persevering makes the victory sweet. And when we got up at that youth rally that night and all them people was in that altar getting saved, it was like all that come back. All them days, all the mowing the grass and all the printing the signs and all the knocking on the doors and all the fasting, especially. Lady called me this morning. She's not here tonight. She said, Brother Danny, I want to fast. I want to fast. She said, how do I do it? And I said, don't eat. And she said, I tried it and all I could think about was food. And I said, well, you don't realize how addicted you are to food that you try to do without it. You don't realize it. You don't realize how addicted you are in anything. You don't realize how addicted you are to anything until you try to stop it. Right. Try to stop it. And she said, oh my goodness, there's got to be a better way. She said, all I could think about was eating. And I said, you know, that's true. Would you deny that flesh? And you let the Lord have His way in your heart, and then when the victory comes, it is sweet. Lord, have mercy, it's sweet. But I'm going to stop right there. Anybody want to say anything right quick? I said three things tonight. Perseverance. Perseverance will help you mature. Perseverance will help you learn how to trust God. And perseverance will make the victory that much sweeter when it finally does come. Just hang in there. Do not quit no matter what. I don't care how bad it gets. Don't quit. If you and your husband separate, come to church anyway. If you and your wife, come on anyway. Serve God no matter what. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what. And God will bless you for it. Amen? All right.
Man, just want to praise the Lord. We had an 8-year-old boy get saved back here tonight.
Is that right? Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing? That was 3 Sunday and 1 on Wednesday night. That's a blessing. Come on, Miss Desi. Let's bow our head for prayer. I want her to play softly. Something on the piano tonight. Let's just take a minute here tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you might want to just slip out of your seat and come up here. Let's pray this invitation. Just say, Lord, by your grace, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. I want to stay true. I want to stay right. I can't do it by myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on. Come on. Let's pray. Come on, young people, mamas, daddy, whoever, let's get down here tonight and say, Lord, I am not going to quit. I am not going to get backslid. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hang in there till I see the victory come. I'm going to hang in there till I see the end of the tunnel, the light shine through. Glory to God, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to let the devil knock me out. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick in there through thick, through thin, through up, through down, through victory, through sorrow, through trouble, through heartache, through death, through disease, through divorce, through destruction, whatever it is. By the grace of God, I'm going to stick in there for Jesus. I'm going to stick in there for Jesus. Come on. Persevere. Persevere. Persevere, saints of God. Persevere. Don't let nothing or nobody stop you. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let the trouble stop you. Don't let your family stop you. Don't let the wicked people out in the world stop you. Don't let the rock and roll crowd stop you. Don't let the drug pusher stop you. Don't let the boyfriend stop you. Don't let the girlfriend stop you. I'm going to serve God. I don't care who does, who don't. I'm going by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not giving up, not quitting. God will bless you for it. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd bless our church. Help us to be a church that will persevere in the face of danger. We don't know what we're liable to face. We don't know, Lord. We don't know how bad things are liable to get. We don't know. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, come down. Lord, give us a desire to stay in there, Lord, not to give up, not to quit, to persevere in the face of trials, danger. Be like Paul, who said, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give unto me at that day. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. God bless our church. Cause it to grow and prosper for the glory of God. Meet back with us Sunday. God, fall in this place, God. Touch every heart and every life. Help us to get rid of any hindrance that would hinder us from serving you. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we ought to just persevere, y'all. Persevere. Persevere. That's one of the great doctrines of the Bible. Perseverance of the saints. And that means just hang in there. There'll be times when you love to come to church. There'll be times when you don't even want to. There'll be times when you love to sing and live for Jesus. And there'll be times when you don't even want to. You persevere in the face of danger. God will bless you for it. All right. Now, we're going to visit Saturday morning. Come and go with us. And don't forget Sunday school, Sunday morning. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Be here. Bring the whole family, and we're looking forward to it. All right? Amen. I heard my radio program yesterday on 1270 AM, and they're playing that thing twice a day now at 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, 1270 AM. And that's free. That extra spot ain't costing us nothing. They must be hard up for preaching on there or something. But I've heard it 2 or 3 days. So pray about that. Lord bless it. I met people at a youth at that meeting last week, revival down yonder, and 2 or 3 people come up and shook my hand and said, listen to you every day. Listen to you every day. Take my lunch break. Go out and listen to you preach while I eat. I said, well, thank God. So it's getting out. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. After this, everybody shake hands and fellowship, and we'll go. Bow your head. Brother Mike, I want you to dismiss us back here, brother. Everybody, let's pray.